2 weeks ago in Huntersville, a new barber opened up shop. He opened up shop right across from David Beatty, who is a well-known, long-time, always perfectionist barber. And so he had heard that David was charging $12 for a haircut, so he put up this big, bodacious sign that said, "Haircuts, $3. David looked out, saw what was across the street. He very calmly printed up a sign, put it on the front of the store that simply said, "We fix $3 haircuts." The state of our world and many of our worlds are testimony to the fact that our lives so often buy into the claims of those cheap gods, those values and priorities of our culture, and the results are way too familiar. Misshapen and messed up lives and marriages and families and futures. The great news is that our God with a capital G calls us to come to Him. Let Him fix us and reshape us. Let Him carry out in our lives this good plan He has for us to prosper us because He loves us. That's the promise that our God has been making to us through our summer series so far, in which our God shows how He does the seemingly impossible in the lives of the women and men of the Old Testament, opening our eyes and our lives to see how God can do the seemingly impossible in our lives. Today, God offers to do the seemingly impossible by offering us a recipe on which all of the other seemingly impossible possibilities depend. God does this through the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. To take us back, to get us to this point, you remember 2 weeks ago, before Alexis offered a wonderful message last week, we saw David as the king of Israel, and he had sinned, and he prayed for God to cleanse his heart from his sin. And David's prayer was answered, but it was too late for his family. His family, who succeeded in power, adopted David's sin, not the other parts of his lives, which is often the way it is. And so their lives as leaders of the kingdom of Israel were filled with immorality, with violence, with self-centeredness, deceit, swayed by the cheap gods, and the always let you down values of the culture around them. Result is that the kingdom fell apart. It divided through a civil war between the north and the south. The people reject God and His ways, and so they lose His wisdom and His power that would otherwise have led them and protected them. So the door is open to Assyria, who comes in, since God is out of the way by the people's choice, and comes into the northern kingdom of Israel, conquers it, takes the people away, and they disappear, never to come back to Israel again. Well, the southern kingdom of Judah is headed the same way. So God sends prophets. He sends a prophet Isaiah and then follows up with our friend Jeremiah, who comes in about 627 BCE. And Isaiah and Jeremiah urge the people to let God shape their lives, to put their lives in God's hand. And Jeremiah gives this fantastic promise. He says, God says, "I have plans for you, plans that will not harm you but will prosper you," God says. But the people, as we too often do, do not listen. And they miss out on the good plan of God that would have prospered them. Now God offers His promise to us today, to give us this recipe for how it is that He can shape and reshape our lives and fulfill His good plan, His promise of a plan to prosper us. Here's how it goes. "Then the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord is, 'Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message.' So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred and spoiled in his hands. So the potter reformed it into another pot, shaping it as deemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. The Lord said, 'O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter does? Like clay in the hand of a potter, so are you in my hand. Yet, if I announce that a people are to be built up and planted, and they do not listen or cooperate with me, then I will reconsider the good plan I had for them. As God always does, He gives us a choice. To live by Frank Sinatra's Hymn to Our Culture, I Did It, or decide to listen to Him and cooperate with Him and let Him fulfill this good plan that otherwise God says, I may have to reconsider this good plan I have for you. His plan for us as Christians is to live lives like Jesus. As Paul says in his letter to the Galatians, if you have given your life to Jesus, then you no longer live, but Jesus lives in you. But God knows that the cheap gods of our culture, the crowd, the clamor to do it our way, will lure us almost always, in fact always, to away from Him. And our lives, in Jeremiah's words, become marred and spoiled. And that word marred that Jeremiah uses means to obstruct, to waste. And the word spoil means to destroy value. When God sees this happening in our lives, no matter how marred and spoiled our lives have become, He does not want to throw us away as wasted lives and destroyed value. Instead, He speaks this beautiful word, followed by beautiful action. And that word is so. Because Fred's life is marred and spoiled, so I will reform his life as seems best to me. Today God offers His recipe for this reforming of our lives, to carry out His good plan and give us His very best. His recipe begins with this first ingredient of His recipe for reforming, which is, do not push away the potter's hands. Do not push away God and God's ways and the ways of Jesus. God makes this clear that we can miss out on His good plan, His plan to prosper us, by pushing away the potter's hands, pushing away His ways. As Jeremiah says, if my people do not listen and will not cooperate with me, then I will reconsider my good plan. And Isaiah, Jeremiah's predecessor, puts the choice this way. He begins, O Lord, You are the potter. I am the clay and You are the potter. We are the work of Your hands. Yet, Isaiah says, the people turn things upside down as if the potter were the clay. Those who were formed say, He did not make me. He knows nothing. You see, we push away the potter's hands and say, God, You know nothing. When we make this choice, we choose anger over love. We choose bitterness over forgiveness, pride over peace, division over reconciliation, self-centeredness over sacrifice, judgment over understanding. Compassion, not prejudice. We choose immorality and unhealthy habits instead of purity and holy habits. The list of we know better than the potter is a long, long list. You just fill in the blank for you. God urges us not to push Him away, for when we do, over time, Jim, we will look like this. Our hearts and our lives become so hard that God can no longer reform us with His good plan, and we indeed have wasted our precious gift of life. See, our lives can end up like this person I knew. We're going to call her Margaret. Margaret's husband was unfaithful to her. She found out, and she threw him out. Then Margaret pushed away the potter's hands. She pushed away his ways of forgiveness, compassion, peace, and reconciliation. She became bitter. She bathed her bitterness in alcohol. And her unforgiveness and her bitterness led her to lash out in anger over time with her son. Everything he did was wrong. Everything that went wrong was his fault. Everything he did was disrespectful to her. Her friends avoided her, and eventually they left her, and her son eventually left her as soon as he could. And he never forgave her and never spoke to her again. Her son married. And because he was holding on to this unforgiveness and bitterness in his wife, he lashed out in anger at his wife. Everything she did was wrong. Everything went wrong was her fault. Everything she did was disrespectful to him. Margaret died 2 years ago, bitter, alone, tortured by her pushing away the potter's hands, and failing to forgive, which is his good plan. Her son is in prison. The bitterness eating up his heart, passed on by his mother, led him to abuse his wife. She has not forgiven him. They have a son. You see, Margaret pushed away the potter's hands. I know better than you, God. You don't forgive someone for doing something like that. It's okay to be angry. She hung on to pride and unforgiveness and alcohol. What Margaret missed, and too often, my friends, we miss, is this terrible truth, is when we push away the hands of the potter and say we know better, and we hang on to our ways. We pass on our sins and are pushing away his good plans to our children. Sometimes to our children's children. Because the fact is, my friends, most of the time, our children end up looking just like us. Their marriages and relationships look just like ours. God urges us, if there is any way in your life that is marred or spoiled or wasted or obstructing the good plan that God wants for you, please, do not push away the potter's hands. Do not push away the good plan to prosper you that he has for your life. If you don't want to do it for yourself, at least do it for your children. Instead, God says, open your life to God's second ingredient of his recipe for reforming. Put your life, he says, into the potter's hands by listening and yielding. Jeremiah says succinctly how we miss out on the good plans. I said a moment ago, if we do not listen and cooperate, if we don't listen to God's word and live out God's word, then God will reconsider his good plan for our lives. And Isaiah makes it so we do not miss it. We turn things upside down, he says. We say, you do not form us. God knows nothing. Yet, God is our Father. He is the potter, and we are the clay. We are the work of his hands. You see, this is the way God wants us to work. And Jim, I'm going to walk you through these slides. You see, we start out as this lump of clay in his hands. And then he puts the clay on the wheel of life. And then he begins to shape our lives. Did you know you used to look like that? Elsie used to look like that. Quick, what do you think? Weighed at least that much, maybe more by the end, correct? And so then he begins to shape it more, and shape it more, shaping us from the outside and the inside. And when something in our lives begins to be marred and spoiled and walking away from the good plan the potter has for us, this is what God does. He takes our lives and he squeezes out and he works out in our lives all those impurities, all those things that do not belong in our lives. And then he begins to reform us, to shape us again, and we turn out even more beautiful than before. When we let God reform us and remake us and drive that stuff out of our lives, my friends, we end up with a more beautiful life than we ever could have imagined because his good plan is being carried out in our lives. Well, I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. But I'm going to pretend I don't. But for me, I'm not so sure about this handing over my life into God's hands. You see, what I'd like to do is tell God how it must be done. And for goodness sakes, I want to control the outcome. Y'all with me on this? I know you don't do this, but you've seen this, right? You have a friend who's like this. But as I've told you in the past, God has used people, some of you, and events and things to change me. I really, more than ever in my life, am just yielding to God and listening to Him. I've told you about how God has used people to ring out and drive out my unkindness, my pride, my desire to control. God's still working on me. But friends, I'm listening to God. And He's reforming my life. And what I want to do this morning is I'm going to share with you a song and a story that have had a profound impact on my life, especially in the last 2 weeks. Here's the song. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after your will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Amen. Now the story. You have this beautiful blessing that you give to me. And that is, you give me the privilege every week, or almost every week, preparing a message of God's Word to give to you. And when I do that, God speaks to me in powerful ways, because my basic premise is I've got to live what I speak. I have to have integrity about what I offer to you and be willing to do it myself. Well, as I began thinking and praying about this message 2 weeks ago, God put this song in my head. I hadn't sung this song since youth fellowship in 19-whatever at Montreat. It's not even in the Presbyterian hymnal. We Presbyterians, we're not putting our hands in the potter's hand. Our lives in the potter's hand. We are smarter than that. So what happened to me is this thing, sounding, what do you call it, Sally, an earworm? This song became an earworm, and I could not get it out of my head, so I decided not to fight it. So I began praying this song for the last 2 weeks, every morning and every noon. I'm too busy in the afternoon to turn this over. But every morning and every noon, I've been praying this song. Mold me and make me after your will. While I'm waiting, yielded and still. So as I prayed and was actually still and yielded myself to the potter's hands over this last 2 weeks, the potter put a person on my heart that I do not like. That is basically a thorn in my flesh. And as the potter took hold of my heart in that stillness, when I was saying, yes, Lord, I yield to you, he took my heart and started working it over, reforming it, and showing me in my heart how it is that I was so judgmental, how I lacked compassion, how actually, although I say I never do this, was holding on to some of the stuff that happened, and my failure to be patient and to be gentle. I suddenly felt this peace with this person. And I began to care for this person. I'm not going to share with you the details. It's not Sally, by the way. Not Sally, by the way. She is not a thorn in my flesh. We are one flesh, God said. But she is not a thorn, for sure. We got that straight? Okay. So, I'm not going to share with you the details, but the potter did the seemingly impossible for me with this person. In my life, my attitude and my action with this person have changed 180 degrees. My relationship has changed 180 degrees in 2 weeks. And I really think this person is changing as well. I said to this person a few days ago, I am really proud of you, and I meant it. Not because I did something, because I was still. And I yielded my heart to the potter to do some reforming that had to happen so his good plan would come true for me and this person. So I urge you to make this song your prayer for a week. Yes, I'm going to give you a copy when you leave on purple. And I urge you to be still and yield your heart to the potter's hand. Just see what he does. and be ready to be reformed by the potter. Even reformed in your attitude and your relationship and your life with that person. For if we will put our lives and our plans into the potter's hands, we got to be ready for God's third ingredient in His recipe for reforming, which is He will pull us in the places and with people where we can become like Jesus. For you see, that is God's ultimate good plan for you and for me, that we be like Jesus to the world, to offer Jesus to the world. That's His plan. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, if you will surrender to God's will and do what He leads you to do, He will give you the Spirit who will guide you and give you the power to do even greater things, Jesus says, than I have done. And I, Jesus says, will live in you, and all will see me in you. This is the hope of the second verse, the last verse of our song and our prayer. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with Thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Is there something in your heart where you want the potter to reform you until all will see Christ only always living in you? Would you like that for your life? To be like Jesus? I hope so, because it is Jesus that others see. Your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, your friend, that wayward family member that you are so concerned about, that will move them to put their lives into the potter's hands for His good plan, for Him to prosper them, because they see Jesus and you. This is what I've seen in some of your lives here. It inspires me. And I saw it in the life of Corey Ten Boom. Many of you know her story. Corey and Betsy, her sister, were arrested by the Nazis for hiding Jews in their home in Holland. They were imprisoned at the Ravensbrück concentration camp. Betsy died, somehow Corey survived. After the war, Corey was filled, understandably, with hatred and anger and hope for revenge. But one Sunday in her Lutheran church, her pastor prayed this prayer of Martin Luther, who certainly knew about being persecuted and imprisoned. You are our Father, we are the clay, and you are the potter. And as you, Lord, are merciful, reform my heart to be merciful to all. Something moved in Corey, and she began to pray Luther's prayer to the potter. And God pulled her out into Germany, even to those people. She began speaking in town halls and in churches, and her message was, if you turn to Jesus, He will forgive you, just as Jesus has led me to forgive, and He will set you free from all you have done. Then that night, she saw Him in the audience, the most brutal of all the prison guards, the one who had beaten their emaciated bodies, who'd watched her sister Betsy drop dead at her feet and picked her up like a sack of flour and tossed her in the pile. Suddenly, she was face to face with Him. Fräulein, he said, you mentioned Ravensbrück. I was a guard there. You said that you have forgiven like Jesus. Will you forgive me? I want Jesus. I want Him to set me free. Corey tells it this way. I stood there, frozen. I had so glibly talked about forgiveness. And then I realized that those words were not my words. Those words were the words of Jesus. the words given to me by the potter to use, not for me, but for him. So Corey said, I prayed, help me, Jesus, to be like you. And she says, slowly, woodenly is the word she used, her hand came up and took his. She said, at that moment, my whole body was filled with warmth. Tears flowed down my eyes. And I dropped his hand and embraced him in my arms. And said, I forgive you, brother, with all my heart. And Jesus, my friend, will set you free. Right at that moment, Corrie ten Boom said, I felt this power. I felt this love of Jesus coming up in my life like I'd never felt before. It took off my whole being. And I knew right then how the potter wanted to use me for the rest of my life, for the rest of Corrie ten Boom's life until she was 82. The potter used Corrie to take the love and forgiveness of Jesus to the worst of the worst. Even when her Jewish friends and others railed against her. She said, I pray the potter's prayer every day. And each day he remolds me afresh to have the power and the love I need to be like Jesus to all who see me. You see, the potter wants to pull you and me into the places and with the lives of the persons where we need to be Jesus for them, to reform the clay in all the lives that we touch, to give Jesus to all who need him, to use you as the potter wills. I'm going to close almost with a song. I'm not going to sing this one. Somebody else is. And I pray that it will move you to give your life, all of your life, into the potter's hands. Jim?
Call me, call me, shake me up.
so he can take this beautiful life, not only for us, but to offer it to the world. Last week, Sally and I got a note. A friend of ours who used to be a marathon runner. And one day he collapsed while he was running. So he's not running marathons anymore. He wrote Sally this note because she obviously has had some challenges in her life. And here's the way he concluded it. My heart issues have only given me an appreciation for life. It is a gift I know no longer take for granted. I don't want to waste a moment of this precious gift of this life. You see, God has a good plan for your life. And yet we mess it up. We mar it, spoil it. But that's when God says, put your life in the potter's hands. And he will remold us. Remake us until all anyone will ever see is Jesus living in us. That's God's good plan for you and me.